I want to start off with just one little story of Glenora's legacy in this church, where she was a faithful member for quite a while, certainly before I got here. A lot of my time with Glenora in the last the 7.5 years that I've been here have revolved around her grandchildren, Xavier and Mikey and Bella, who are at this church because of Glenora, because she was that grandma who brought her grandkids to church as often as she could. These kids were finally baptized last fall, which was rather a big deal around here and for her. And also last summer, Mikey and Xavier went to camp with me, went to Bible camp. Now, if you're around churchy people, that might be a normal thing. But to my knowledge, this church had never sent kids to camp before. And so these were two of the three kids that went last summer. It's something that I had wanted to do for a long time. I've seen the way that going to camp can really function positively in the lives of kids, can really be a positive and powerful and life-changing experience. And so I was really thrilled that these kids got to do that. They got to do that, of course, because their grandmother had been bringing them here, had gotten them involved in this community, had built up enough trust between me and their parents that they were willing to let me take their kids to live in the woods for a week. It was fine. It went real, right? It went good. It went good. And so so these kids are looking to go to camp again this summer as well. But this time it's not just going to be three kids going. We're looking at having about 15 kids from this church go. And so, yeah, so if that works, then hopefully the next year, I don't know if we can get more than 15. That's a little, I didn't even know there were 15 kids around here until these 15 kids decided to go to camp this year. And so to me, that's a huge part of Glenora's legacy, because these kids wouldn't have gone to camp without her, and that one other kid certainly wasn't going to go all by herself without them. And if we're able to do this and keep sending kids to camp, if this becomes a tradition of this congregation, which I think can be tremendously positive in the lives of the kids of this church, that will be thanks to Glenora as much as to anybody else. That is part of her legacy. That's just one little part of her legacy in this church. That's just one little way that she affected the lives not only of her own grandkids, but of all of the kids in this congregation. And I'm sure that each of you could tell a story of something like that, how something Glenora did for you or for someone you know and care about. It was like she dropped a rock in the lake and the ripples just went out until they hit the shore and got bigger and bigger. She affected so many lives in this room, and she affected so many lives beyond those in this room by what she did. One of the most generous people that I've had the privilege of meeting and working with in my time as a pastor, for sure. So like I say, that's just one example. I'd say every church needs a Glenora. And I would also say every family needs a Glenora. And you all know what I'm talking about. How many people, apparently every neighborhood, how many people have told me that Glenora was like a second mother to them or to their kids? How many people have told me that just in the last week? A lot, that's how many. She cared for so many people. Her heart was so big. I don't know how she put up with all of us, to be honest, much of the time, right? But she did. But she did, and we are grateful for that. Now, today's reading from Matthew's Gospel, which Glenora chose herself, is one that many of us have heard before, even if we're not religious types. This list of beatitudes, this list of blessings, was Jesus' first big public speech recorded in the Bible. This is the first thing Jesus wanted people to hear and to know about. He wanted people to know who was blessed, who the blessed people were. And he wanted people to know that it wasn't just the rich or famous or powerful or churchy people that they expected it to be. Now, I don't know that each of these Beatitudes specifically applies directly to our beloved sister Glenora, but lots of them certainly do. I've always taken poor in spirit to mean people who put others first, who recognize that they're part of something greater than themselves, as opposed to, I think of like rich in spirit would be like full of yourself kind of a thing. It's sort of, I could be wrong about that. That's how I've always taken it. And there are a few people who saw themselves as part of something greater more than Glenora did and lived to be part of something greater. It says, blessed are the meek. Now, I wouldn't exactly call Glenora meek, but she did have a way of getting people to listen to her and not just making people mad all the time. And that's no small feat. given all the people that she had to deal with and all the stuff that she had to go through in her life. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. I am extremely confident that Glenora made peace between some of the people sitting in this room, probably more than one time. I think making peace was part of what she was able to do. It says, blessed are the merciful, and here we really hit the heart of who she was. See, Jesus didn't just want to tell people they were blessed. He wanted to inspire people to be blessings for one another. He wanted to inspire people to be merciful toward one another. And that is what Glenora did. So many of the things that we said when we were remembering her were about her giving, about her volunteering, about her sharing with others, about her doing for those in need. She provided for others again and again and again. Her home was constantly filled with people who needed her, people who loved her, people whom she loved. She was always volunteering with one group or another, caring for those who needed her. In the Roman Catholic tradition, they have a list called the works of mercy, the corporal works of mercy, the bodily, the embodied works of mercy. They go like this: to give water to the thirsty, to clothe the naked, to shelter the homeless, to visit the sick, to visit the imprisoned, and to bury the dead. Glenora did most of those things, like regularly, not just that one time. She did those things again and again. She cared for so many people. More than would have been possible for me, and more than would have been possible for many of us, because that's who she was. That's how she lived. Then we get to, blessed are those who mourn. Now today that's us, of course. We mourn this tremendous loss. We mourn that we will no longer have her among us. We mourn the hole she leaves in our lives and in our communities. As I think it was actually Bella who said, just after Glenora died, she said, it's okay, Grandma's in a better place now. We don't need to weep for her exactly, but we weep for ourselves, for the loss that we experienced. She's doing fine now. It's we who have to figure out how to live without her who are dealing with the real stuff today. Glenora is beyond her suffering, beyond the physical impediments that she had in the last days of her life. She's free now, and we can rejoice and give thanks for that, even as we try to figure out what we're going to do without her. Because Glenora doesn't just leave a hole in our hearts, she leaves a hole in many of our day-to-day lives. We're going to have to figure out how to fill in the gaps of all the things that she did for us. I mean, certainly in this church, certainly in her family, in her home, with the VFW, with the Loaves and Fishes Pantry, with lots of other groups that I don't even probably know about. So many things that she did. We're all going to have to step up and follow her example and be inspired by her. If each of us does just one of the things that Glenora did to help others and to care for others, if each of us in this room does just one thing, we'll have most of it covered, I think, because that's how much she did for so many. And even as we mourn, of course, we give thanks for a life well lived. We give thanks for her example of faithfulness, love, perseverance, and service to others. An example that I know that I will strive to follow in the days ahead, and I think that many of you will strive to follow her example as well. Now, there's one more thing I want to say. In the Christian tradition, there's a special place for meals, for celebrations, festive meals, for feasts. Jesus, you may have heard, ate with everyone, from his best friends to tax collectors and sinners to the people who wanted him dead. Scripture also tells us of the feast that has no end, the final gathering of all people to God in Jesus, where all will be fed and none will be left out. That's where we're going. That's where we believe Glenora is even now. She's gone ahead of us to the feast that will never end. In a few minutes here, we will gather at this table, in this room, to celebrate the feast of God's forgiveness and love in the body and blood of Jesus, our Lord. All are welcome to join us for Holy Communion. If you choose not to, that's just fine. If you want to come up and receive a blessing, that's just fine. If you want to come up and have bread and wine, or bread or wine, however you want to do it, that's up to you. It's all here for you. So we will have this meal in here, and then following this ceremony today, you're all invited to join us for a luncheon in our fellowship hall. Now, it's going to be more than just a luncheon. It's going to be a feast. And it's not just because of the food. It is, I think, because of the food. But it's also, it's going to be a feast in which we will celebrate the life of Glenora, whom we love. We will tell stories with laughter and tears and remember the woman who's brought us together here today. And as we share this feast, we'll find a place for everybody. We'll find room. We'll find extra chairs. Like, it's not that big of a room, but we'll make it work. Just like Glenora always made it work. She always found room for the people who needed to have room, no matter what it took. Jesus also always found room for the people who needed him, no matter what it took, even when it seemed impossible. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to join together in this feast that is, in Lutheran language, a foretaste of the feast to come, when all will be reunited with Glenora, our beloved. Amen.